Social ecology is an academic discipline that favors a democratic and communal approach to social, political, and environmental problems. Vermont has played a seminal role in the development of this social science thanks to the Institute for Social Ecology, founded in Plainfield in 1974. The Institute's alumni recently gathered in Marshfield. VPR's John Kalish was there.
The Institute for Social Ecology was started at Goddard College. It operated out of Goddard's 90-acre Kate Farm, which had a brick farmhouse and a huge dairy barn that served as the Institute's lecture hall and fabrication workshop. Dan Chordikoff co-founded the Institute and served as its director when it began in 1974.
People thought we were kind of crazy back then, but the ideas have percolated into the larger society, and I think that's particularly true in Vermont. Ideas around decentralization and ecological forms of food production.
And energy production.
They had windmills and solar collectors and organic gardening way before many, many other people did.
Paul McIsaac taught in Goddard's community media program in the late 1970s.
The farm gave young people hands-on experience with building some of these technologies. Then they went off to teach or to start companies and so forth. It was a very important seminal institution at that time.
Many of the Institute's students went on to teach there. Joseph Kiefer earned a master's in social ecology in 1980 and later founded a Vermont nonprofit called Foodworks, active in gardening and nutrition. When he started his master's in the summer of 1977, there were 120 students in the social ecology program.
At times you had to hold on because it was going really fast. You came there with a certain belief system, you left with a whole new way of thinking.
That new way of thinking was very much influenced by the Institute's social ecology guru, Murray Bookchin, a charismatic political theorist and by all accounts a brilliant intellectual. Bookchin passed away in 2006. Here he is speaking in a documentary in progress by his son, Joseph.
I was one of the earliest advocates of the need for solar energy, of the need for wind power, and the like. These views had not yet been advanced that I know of. And the ecology movement. There was, in fact, no ecology movement to speak of at that point. An environmental movement, yes, but people didn't even know what the word ecology meant.
Bookchin was so far ahead of his time that in 1964, he warned of global warming. In 1962, his book, Our Synthetic Environment, was published 6 months before Rachel Carson's environmental classic, Silent Spring. Grace Gershuni worked for the Northeast Organic Farming Association and helped the U.S. Department of Agriculture establish standards for organic food. In the mid-1980s, she taught bioregional agriculture at the Institute for Social Ecology. Gershuni now teaches in the Sustainable Food Systems Program for Green Mountain College.
It blows my mind that in 1962, Bookchin was writing this stuff. I now assign a chapter from Our Synthetic Environment for my students to learn about the history of sustainable agriculture theory.
And just as Murray Bookchin was ahead of his time on an array of environmental and political issues, so too has the Institute been prescient in some areas of public policy. 9 years before Vermont passed legislation requiring labeling of genetically modified foods, students and faculty at the Institute for Social Ecology were agitating against GMO foods. Among the 50 people who gathered in Marshfield was Chaya Heller, who joined the Institute's faculty in 1985 and taught a course on feminism and ecology. Heller has taught anthropology at Mount Holyoke College. Her doctoral dissertation focused on a French union responsible for a moratorium on genetically modified foods in France. She says the social ecology community is like a family to her, and she particularly cherishes what she calls the Institute's revolutionary utopian vision.
I don't know what I would have done in the academy without social ecology, because I was able to kind of position myself and not get depoliticized, like a lot of people do.
No one will accuse the Institute for Social Ecology of being apolitical. From its involvement in the anti-nuclear movement in the mid-1970s to more recent affiliations with the anti-globalization, Occupy Wall Street, and climate justice movements of the 21st century, the Institute has embraced activism as part of its mission. For VPR News, I'm John Kalish in Marshfield.